Our scriptures are full of this language of hunger and thirst. And there are two different things that it means, because sometimes our scriptures are talking about physical hunger and physical thirst, the need to make sure that everyone has enough food, that everyone is fed, the practical realities of finding water in a land where water is scarce. And that's the baseline, that's the essential. That's what's certainly needed for all people. But because food and water are so important, this language of hunger and thirst also becomes a way of talking about not just our physical bodies, but our whole selves, our spirits, our souls, how we hunger and thirst for awareness of God's presence, for the recognition of our deep connectedness with the world, with one another, and with God. How often in our lives we feel empty. We feel longing for something more. And often it's something that lies underneath the rest of our thoughts and the rest of our day so that we don't even pay attention to it. But when we do and when we stop, then we can say, I hunger, I thirst. This is not enough. Where is God? We can talk about this individually, like the psalm does. We can also talk about this in larger contexts, in collective ways, like the words of Isaiah that aren't addressing an individual sense of hunger or thirst, but the need for a whole community to participate in that act of restoration. And as we might think, in our world today, after hearing the news stories we've heard last week and this week, we might say, we hunger and we thirst for you, O God. We are not whole, we are not complete. We all need to be aware of the sacred that connects us all, that binds us with love, that holds us together and calls us to more. So this week, we ask the question, what nourishes us? And my intention had been and still is to mostly talk about this in personal terms. Often during Lent, we move to the more individual and personal approach to our spiritual life and practice. Not because the other aspects of our lives don't matter, but because it gives us a way to focus, to ground ourselves, to find what we need in order to work and serve the world together. But the words that I say don't just apply individually. So I invite you to listen both ways. Some years ago, when I was working at another church, I was talking with a member of the congregation who was a parent of several of the youths. There weren't many youths in the congregation, as with many congregations, but there were a few different families with youths in them. And this night, I had organized a movie night for all ages, and so she was there helping with her children set up and make popcorn. And much like I had here at Leaside, when I was at this congregation, I'd made sure that people knew that they could find times to meet with me, that I wanted to have the opportunity to just sit down and get to know everyone there. And so I had drop-in times, I met people at coffee shops, and I did the same thing when I arrived here. But because she was working, and had children, we hadn't had a lot of time just to talk about this sort of thing. And so I talked a little bit about what she was doing and asked her, are you doing here something that nourishes you, something that feeds you? And she said, because I have children and I want them to have programs, it seems like I have to be doing this role. So that there is a youth program happening so that something can happen, but really it's not where my passion is. And sometimes I think I should get involved with pastoral care, the pastoral care visiting, because I have so much experience, so much of my own work relates to that, that I know I could bring something to that work. But I asked again, what is it that would nourish you? She said, actually, what I'd like to do is spend more time doing music in the church. It's not the obvious thing given her family situation or the obvious thing given her work experience, but that's the thing that she didn't have enough of in her life. When she played music in the church, she felt nourished. She felt somehow more rather than just busy, doing something that needed to be done. Often that's how we spend all of our lives, particularly our lives at church, doing the busy things that seem to need to be done, or doing nothing at all, because the only things that seem apparent are the busy things that need to be done, rather than finding the things that nourish us, that feed us, that address our hunger and our thirst. I like this parable of the fig tree. Just in case you've already forgotten, I'll review it again. So there's a master of the house who comes out and looks at his fig tree. And his fig tree has been growing for 3 years and has produced no figs. And he says to the gardener, clearly this tree is a waste of space. Let's just cut it down. And the gardener says, wait, let's give it one more year and I will take care of it. I'll put manure around it. I'll help feed it. And then we'll see what happens. We'll decide when we see whether or not we get figs next year, whether to keep it or to cut it down. When we think about that question of what nourishes us, what produces figs in our lives. Anyone here eaten a fresh fig? Wait, yes, okay, thank you. Some of you have eaten a fresh fig. This is particularly good if you're not eating them in Canada because they take a while to get here and they end up not at their nicest. But it's incredible. It's sweet and juicy and soft and delicate. All sorts of desserts and delicacies are based around figs, particularly in the Mediterranean area. This is something that you really want in your life. It's not cabbage. Apologies to those of you who find cabbage the most important vegetable in your life. But it's not necessarily exciting, the way something like a fig is, okay? So we're thinking something that produces fruit, something that we can be excited about, something that enriches our lives. What are we spending time on in our lives that are like that fig tree? We haven't just put a few minutes into it or a few days. We put several years. And we come to the end of that saying, but there are no figs. Where are the figs? This is just taking up space in my life. And sometimes in our world, our first instinct, in our Western world, our first instinct is to say, like the master of the house, just cut down that tree. Let's just take it out of our life. It's clearly not producing any fruit. Let's get rid of it. And we're invited to respond like the gardener and say, what would happen if I gave it a bit more time and paid more attention to it? Added a little bit of manure, really tried to nurture it. And then at the end of that time, went back and said, now are there figs? Because it's not saying, just put your time into a wasted effort forever. It's not saying, this thing hasn't produced fruit for the last 30 years, but just keep going. Someday it'll produce fruit. It's somewhere in between those two extremes that are often what our lives are built on. Quickly abandoning something that doesn't seem beneficial, or going on and on and on with the same thing, even though nothing has changed, even though it creates more thirst in ourselves rather than nourishing us. We're invited to that in-between option, taking time to recognize where we could add a little bit more and then see if fruit is being produced. So the question is, and this is a question for each of you, at the end of a day, when you feel hungry and thirsty, what have you been doing? What haven't you been doing that day? And at an end of the day, when you feel satisfied, when you feel fed, when you feel truly yourself, what have you been doing? What haven't you been doing that day? I've been thinking about this in the context of bigger world issues, news stories this week, because sometimes the advice that we get is, there's so much bad news in the world that you end up worn out by it. And so the best thing to do is just turn off the news. If you don't know about it, you can't be affected by it. And I don't think that's actually the approach that we want to take, because I don't think ignoring something means that it actually goes away. And I don't think those of us who are experiencing privilege in our lives are necessarily justified in ignoring the suffering experienced in other lives. But how we pay attention to the news matters. Where we spend our energy and our time. Which names do we remember and repeat? Which videos do we refuse to watch or to share? How do we engage in acts of hope in times when there seems to be so much thirst and so much want? This is hopefully something you'll think about for a few days. Pay a bit of attention to your orchard. Figure out which trees are bearing fruit, which trees are taking the most time, which ones need a little bit more time in order to enrich your life, and which ones need to be set aside because they've had enough time and you need something that will nourish you so that you can then in turn nourish others. This individual reflection, this individual work, then enables us to work together, to create a community, and even something larger that offers nourishment, that says, yes, here we have cabbage and figs, and everything else that you need for a good meal, so that all may be fed. All might be whole, aware of God's love, of the divine presence that nourishes us, that connects us to one another, that reminds us that we are loved. Amen.